You've heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. What are we to make of this demand for a kind of internal perfection and total non-resistance? The internal perfection, in a way, I suppose, should not be totally unfamiliar. I mean, Aristotle suggested, right, that a person who does not enjoy doing good is not really good. But somehow this puts it at a higher pitch, that even evil thoughts are evil. How, then, are we supposed to respond to this? How, then, are we supposed to respond to this? On the face of it, these are impossible demands. We really can't totally rid ourselves of lustful desires. We can't totally rid ourselves of anger, nor can we totally avoid feeling a kind of hostility and resentment against those who treat us badly. So what's the point? It's been interpreted in a lot of ways. One interpretation, which we'll see more of, is that by raising the bar to the absolute height, making this standard an absolute, what Jesus has in mind is to reveal to us the gap between the righteousness of God and our own flawed, fallen human nature, and to suggest, finally, that we cannot do it on our own. But there's another reading, too, and it works in conjunction with the universality which we see Jesus suggesting for his message in other passages. And that's this. We've spoken over the course of these lectures a good deal about love. And love comes in many guises. There's affection, the affection we have for cute things. The Greeks had a word for it, storge. There's friendship, phile, Philadelphia, the love between equals who share intellectual interests and virtues and enjoy each other's company. And, of course, there's eros, what I call sometimes in my classes the feeling that falls between love and lust, which you could call lovest or something like it. I don't think any of those is exactly what Jesus is talking about here, though. He has in mind, I think, and I'm certainly not alone in thinking, a form of love which the Greeks called agape or agape. That's usually translated into English as charity. But the problem with thinking of it in that way is that it has too much of a pocketbook ring to it. We think of charity and we think of the cancer fund. And that's part of it, but that's not really what I think Jesus has in mind here. I think what he has in mind is something more like what we could call generalized goodwill, generalized active goodwill towards everybody, period, no matter what.